Sharon will now speak about her bio a little bit, just telling us a little bit about herself and maybe Earthworks. You care to explain a little bit about Earthworks in more detail?
Okay. I work for Earthworks. It's an environmental organization. I learned about when I was living in the middle of fracking. I worked for industry for 12 years in Fort Worth, but I didn't really know about the environmental impacts. I just worked in an office, but I did know that the industry had some ethics that I objected to, and I did not want to spend my time every day in that environment. I felt like they had a disturbing sense of entitlement without any caring about how what their decisions affected people. So I moved, I quit in 1995, and I bought 42 acres in Wise County. It was adjacent to the LBJ National Grasslands, beautiful property. I could walk out my gate and be standing on National Grasslands property. I did not know at the time that George Mitchell, the father of fracking, the new modern kind of fracking, was learning how to produce oil and gas from shale in an economic manner. And he was doing that virtually in my backyard, all around. And as fracking moved closer and closer to me, my air turned brown and my water turned black. And that was a very traumatic experience for myself and my son. At the time, there was very little known about fracking. That was early 2000s, very little known. There was little information, and there was really no help for someone who faced that. When I was little, I grew up watching people on TV being rescued. The Red Cross would come, it would flood, the Red Cross would come and bring food and water. The helicopter would send down a bucket and people would get in the bucket and be hoisted up into the helicopter, and someone always came on TV. Someone came and rescued you. Mm-hmm. When fracking happens, when you lose your water, no one comes. No one comes when it's fracking. And so that's when I became interested in helping other people who were facing these kind of challenges. I started a blog and started writing about things I was learning about fracking and the oil and gas industry and what was happening. I took pictures and photos, and I started working part-time for Earthworks as an organizer, and that's when Kathy McMullen found me. She had just recently moved to Denton from Wise County, where she experienced many of the same things I experienced. And she moved close to McKenna Park. And she learned that Range Resources was going to put an oil and gas site across the street from McKenna Park. And she asked me if I could help them and what they could do. Mm-hmm. I was working at the University of North Texas at the time, commuting from Wise County. And so Kathy and I started working together, and the first thing that she did was collect money. She went door to door and collected enough money to get environmental testing in her neighborhood. So she got testing, a baseline test, and then she got follow-up testing when they were fracking. So we had hard data showing the kind of impacts and what happened when they fracked in your neighborhood. But the city wouldn't listen to us, and they were lured by the money. Many, many things happened during that adventure. Eventually, I went to work for Earthworks. In 2010, I went to work full-time for Earthworks, and I moved to Denton. And I was no longer working at the university, and pretty soon fracking kept expanding closer and closer and all throughout Denton. And Kathy and I wanted to try to figure out how we could stop it. And we wanted to look at the permits. So we went down to the fire station because for some unbelievable reason, the permits for oil and gas in Denton were kept at the fire station. And we spent hours and hours and hours digging through those files all day long. And what we found is that the going way back, the leases were granted by plat. So instead of just permitting a lease, a one well pad, they were permitted by plat. And so the industry felt that they had the right to drill unlimited wells in the city of Denton in perpetuity. And so Kathy and I figured out, when we took all the plats and laid them out and we scanned them, and we figured out that it was an enormous amount of Denton was eligible to be fracked unlimited wells in perpetuity forever. So we started trying to help people understand that and make that known. I think it was something like 30% of the area of the city of Denton. And as that happened, as we were learning about that, Eagle Ridge moved into Denton, and they started to frack these two wells very close to the vintage community, one on either side. And this was a case where there was an old well, an existing well, and they wanted to go in and on this site, and they said they had the right to do that, and they did not have to respect it, much of the ordinance, because it was grandfathered in and they had this right to drill there because it was the permit was issued and they owned the lease for that plat. So we'd been working with the city of Denton for a long time trying to get them to adopt a stronger ordinance, and that really didn't get us much of anywhere. One of the city councilmen asked us to the Denton DAG group to come up with some ordinance suggestions, but I think it seemed that it was just busy work to keep us out of the way, and there wasn't really any intention of adopting any of our ordinances. In the meantime, they had another group that was working on ordinance that was predominantly industry or very industry friendly. And some of the city was compromised. Some of the city employees were compromised and very industry friendly. So of course the ordinances that came out were not anything that would protect health and safety. So when Eagle Ridge started drilling those wells and said they don't have to even follow the ordinance because they're grandfathered in, that was when the members of DAG finally decided that they wanted to try to pass a ban. I'd been encouraging that because I could see that we weren't getting anywhere with the city, and the city was not going to do anything to protect the public. And so that's when Kathy McMullen did a lot of research to find out how to get it on the ballot, mm-hmm. how to get an initiative to get a ban on the ballot. And we had to collect a lot of signatures, and the signatures had to be verified voters. And so it was really important. So we started, it was really important to make sure that the signatures on the petition were verified as voters. And a lot of people will be happy to sign your petition,
right,
but they won't be registered voters. So some of us were registering voters and some of us were getting the petition signed. It was a lot of work, but we had a lot of fun. We showed up everywhere. At the Mardi Gras, we showed up. At the dog park, we showed up. If bark in the park or boo in the park or whatever it was, we showed up and we signed people up. We were at the farmers market all the time signing people. I got a notary so that I could notarize the petitions, each page of the petition, and we knew we had to get far more signatures than they needed because we knew some of them would be thrown out. And so when we kicked the petition off, we had a party at Dan's Silverleaf, mm-hmm. and people couldn't even get in. It was a huge success. There were so many people that people were lined up to get in. They couldn't fit us all in. And we did eventually get more signatures than we needed. We took them in a big box and turned them into the city, and they went through these signatures and culled some of them, but we still had more than we needed, so we could get the the initiative on the ballot. And do you want me to keep going, or do you want to ask me questions?
Do,